It's Bill Left. It's Wendy Snyder. If you're just tuning in, Wendy and her family attended the Who concert last night, where they nearly befriended a dope smoker.
I kind of did.
Almost.
Greg's on the line. Hi, Greg. Were you at the show last night?
Yes, I was. It was an amazing night. Although I didn't go broke buying tickets like you did, I just got lawn seats. But with the way the weather was, do your Tom Skilling, Bill, now.
Yeah.
When I went to see what you could bring in, like can you bring in snacks and stuff, there's a spot where I could upgrade the tickets. For $20, I moved into seats, row T in the section over. So my total cost per ticket was only $90.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
You know, the $400 in fees, yeah. And incredible.
Wasn't it a great show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, except for the opening act. Opening act was not very good.
Wait, Ray Rainwolf?
What they didn't have in,
God,
what
take
they didn't
that
have
back.
In, talent. What they didn't have in talent, they made up for loudness and smoke. They had smoke constantly.
I kind of missed Rainwolf. So, we kind of pulled in and waiting in
no,
the...
No, you didn't.
Oh, we did.
You didn't miss it.
All right, well, a good time was had by all then, Greg?
Yes, we did. We were just amazed. And it wasn't too loud either, because you remember the Who was known for having the loudest concerts ever. And I was prepared with
earplugs,
cotton and Kleenex for my ears. And I took it out because even though we're much closer to the stage, it didn't, you know, fry my ears. And I disagree with you saying about Roger's voice. He couldn't hit the high notes anymore, but if you sat there and enjoyed it and listened, you wouldn't have noticed the difference, but...
I didn't notice.
He's old. What do you say? Yeah, that's the thing. You enjoyed it. But just like Michael Jordan or Walter Payton, once you get older, things start changing.
That's right.
So...
You weren't the weed-smoking guy in front of us, were you?
No.
You know how you can tell? Because he's
really
awake right
sick.
Now. That guy's still sleeping. Greg, I'm glad you had a good time.
I think I saw you there. Yeah,
oh, you saw Wendy
there? You had a winter coat on, right?
Leather.
A winter coat, yeah. Well, everyone had a winter coat. But the weather, the problem was, I think they usually do encores, because when I saw them do Quadrophenia a few years ago, they did encores where they played other songs besides Quadrophenia. But the wind was just
coming
over the hill.
Yeah, they were complaining, that's true. And hitting them
right
in
their face.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the back of your head. Mine was cold.
All right.
Yours was stoned, I know.
No, that was the front. Thank you, Greg. I'm glad you had a good time, and Tom went as well.
Tom?
Hello.
What'd you think? You saw the show last night. Were you a fan? Big fan of last night's show?
Oh, yeah. It was terrific.
Yeah? What was the highlight?
Just the orchestra. I think it's called Imagine a Man. They played that song they never played on tour before from Who by Numbers.
Yeah.
And with the chorus, orchestra just sounded terrific.
Oh,
every
good.
Song did.
Well, cool.
Yeah, and I did the upgrade, too. I had lawn tickets and,
jeez,
you know, did a $10 upgrade. Now it's in section 105, row 24.
How much did you pay, Tom?
I actually won the tickets on another radio station, too.
Oh, I got to let you go.
That was quick.
I hung up on him.
You had such good seats, so if you did an upgrade, you would have been in the band. They would have let you just play some of the songs along with the band.
I would have been cool. I could have just sat with the orchestra and pretended to play something.
Right, the triangle.
And you were at the Cubs game last night. You had fun.
I had a great time at the Cubs game. There was a guy. Now, keep in mind, last night was very, very cold. The game started out cold, and then as the evening progressed, it got colder and colder. So a guy comes in. He's in the section right next to ours. There's an aisle between us. And he makes his presence known. He comes in and he goes, oh, this is bear weather, bear weather, like that. And everybody agrees because it was cold. But then he did Bears references for the next 2.5 hours.
Oh, my God.
No.
I'd rather
come
have
on, Bears.
Dude, I'd rather have the weed guy in front of me.
No, I know. Now, we mentioned that a lot of times with the bands, the lead singers, if this is an older band, sometimes they can't hit the high or the low notes. Don't you find that in instances like that, this is always a tip-off that the lead singer can't sing those notes. He'll turn the microphone toward the crowd so that they'll sing that part
of
the song.
He did that a couple times, but it wasn't in the high parts. And Simon Townsend, Pete's brother, did a lot of the high parts on some of the songs.
Oh, he did? Yeah.
So, and can I just tell you, Zach Starkey is awesome.
Ringo Starr's son, for those of you who aren't sure. He's been with the band for quite a while,
from
right?
From the 96, I think.
Yeah, he's their drummer.
Oh, my God. He looks like he's 12 years old if you're looking on a stage at him. But then when the cameras zoom in on the Jumbotron, you can tell he's a little older. But
he's great,
was
right?
rocking the whole night.
Yeah, he's very good.
I don't know why drummers get reamed all the time. They work harder than anyone else in that band. His arms have got to be so tired. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Everybody like makes fun of the drummer.
Oh, that's the rule of rock and roll is rip on the drummer, and I don't know why.
How do you know the stage risers are even? Because the drool's coming out of the sides of his mouth evenly or something. There's stupid drummer jokes, and I just think it's unwarranted.
What do you call the guy that always hangs out with a rock band? The drummer, that kind of stuff. It's uncalled for, but it makes us laugh, so do it a little bit more.
And your bear weather guy, was he there the whole game, just continuing?
He was nonstop. The crowd was polite to him for a while, and then we signed a petition saying, okay, the Bears references have to stop. It's not Bobby Douglas out there. Come on, please.
And the Cubs won.
The Cubs ended up winning in 9 innings. Very exciting.
That is pretty
cool. Very exciting. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have all kinds of stuff for you planned on today's show. So stick around. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. In studio with us right now is my friend Randy Vineyard. And Randy, I am proud to call you my friend. You were a guy that I never met before. And a lot of times Wendy and I will make fun of things about Facebook. But without Facebook, I would have never have met you. So if there's anything that has ever come good out of Facebook for me, it's meeting you. Your story starts out very, very sad, or this part of the story starts out very sad, but it doesn't end very sad, not as far as I'm concerned. Can we talk a little bit? I hope you're okay with this. I've asked you prior to the interview to tell a little bit about your son, Jake, because it's an amazing story.
Yep, sure. No problem, Bill. Well, first off, thanks for having me back on.
Absolutely.
Wendy, Bill, I enjoy coming down every time. It gets easier every time I come down and talk to you guys, and I really appreciate WGN taking the time to recognize what our cause is about. We see it in the fall with the AFSP walks, the Out of Darkness walks, so we know WGN's a full supporter of that. So, again, thanks for having me on. I guess the reason I'm on is my son, Jake, died by suicide April 8th, 2014. And ever since then, obviously, our lives as a parent, siblings, family, friends have been changed since then.
May I ask how old he was? I can't remember.
Jake was 19.
I don't know why it hurts more that he's a teenager, you know?
It hurts any time, but as a teenager, it does, because you realize a future has been lost. Jake had turned 19 on April 1st, just 7 days before we lost him. So he's our little April Fool's baby. So so we lost Jake to suicide in April of 2014, and ever since then, obviously we went through our dark days as parents, as family. It took a while to kind of get our bearings straight and try to figure out what's next. And you know, it took, I think that same summer Robin Williams died of by suicide.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that kind of woke me up, and it's like, you know, professionals or athletes, or if something like this happens with somebody that has a name out there that's known, it gets recognition. I know I say this a lot. I know that if you're just in a small town of Spring Grove with the population of 5,500 people, nobody's going to know about Jake Vineyard dying by suicide. So at that point, I think I was determined to make a difference, to turn our tragedy into a positive for somebody else. As hard as it is, and still is, it's still hard, but it gets easier every day to do that. So so it took a while, and we finally came up with a way to do something. And I've been on before. We've done blood drives. We've done food drives in the wintertime and stuff like that. But our key thing is our baseball tournament in memory of Jake.
Yeah. Jake was quite an athlete, an amazing ball player.
He was a good ball player. In a dad's eyes, of course, he was amazing.
Yeah.
But I joke about it a lot. Jake liked to play football. Jake knew he wasn't the best football player out there, but he still went out there. We always joked about Jake didn't have a lot of speed.
Yeah.
We let him know that also. I know he didn't like it when I'm yelling at him, But yeah, Jake loved the game of baseball. He started at four playing T-ball in Bartlett, and he played all the way up through his varsity year at Richmond.
Who did he inherit that lack of speed from, yourself or your wife?
Probably me.
Yeah, well, congratulations.
Yeah, probably me. That's fantastic. I know I'm built spelt here, but I am slower than a turtle.
But his thoughts about this would have been amazing, in that he would have wanted to participate so badly. He would have wanted to play. I'm sure you know that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. He loved the game of baseball. It was just something that was his passion. He loved watching it. Diehard Sox fan, inherited that from me.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it's our passion now with this tournament.
So you started this tournament a couple of years ago, yep. And it has grown by leaps and bounds. Tell everybody the numbers.
Yeah, sure. And just to give a little credit, it was Caitlin's idea. My daughter, Caitlin, came up with the idea. We should have a tournament in memory of Jake. And that's how it started. So our first year, 2016 was, our first year of the tournament. And, for those that know or have organized baseball tournaments or any sort of tournament, your first year is always the hardest.
Sure.
It's just to get recognition out there. So our first year, we had 10 teams sign up for our tournament. People that played in it loved it. Those 10 teams, most of those 10 teams came back in year number two. We had 26 teams in year number two. Last year, as word got out about our tournament, about our event and things that we do for this tournament, last year we had 53 teams.
That's
wow.
Amazing.
And good. As of this morning, we have 55 teams signed up for our tournament.
That's the thing. It's so unfortunate, but everyone listening right now either is related to or knows someone who committed suicide. And that's why it needs to be talked about. I remember in high school, there was someone that took their own life. It was, you didn't hear about it. Everybody kind of brushed it under the rug. And then I feel no one talked about it, so no one got help.
Right, absolutely. And I think one thing that's unique about this tournament is, if I rewind the tape a little bit, is, you know, the first year of the tournament, it was just kind of a memorial tournament.
Right.
After that is when we established the Jake Vineyard Foundation, and we realized that we could actually use this as a platform to do just that, to bring out the awareness and bring out, you know, the fact that, yeah, we lost Jake to suicide, but we have the opportunity now to raise the awareness, to talk to the kids, to talk to the coaches, which is phenomenal, just from a receptive standpoint, the support and the comments that we receive after the tournament. I'll get emails or text messages from players, coaches, parents that participated in the tournament and just said, we need more of these.
Yeah.
We need this topic talked about.
You're not the first person that I've heard use the phrase, we need to raise awareness, and we do. But let's get specific with that. What is the awareness? We all know that suicide exists, and it's horrible. But what should the awareness be of signs to watch for in people? What do you think it should be?
Absolutely. And I talk to this. I mean, one thing that's unique about this tournament is I have a chance, or my wife or our family has a chance, to talk to so many people. One of the coolest things is we after an elimination game for a team, I'll try to talk to as many teams as I can, and I'll talk to the signs, the things to look for. You know, everybody will associate suicide with depression, PTSD, anxiety, stuff like that. And I've learned not everybody that has depression, PTSD, anxiety will die by suicide. Everybody that dies by suicide may not necessarily have depression, PTSD. You see the signs in school kids with bullying and the exclusion.
And that's getting worse day by day.
Absolutely. And it brings a feeling of worthlessness. And what I try to talk to the kids on the team is, look, you guys are taking care of yourself on the baseball field. It takes 9 guys to play a game, right? The game of life is equally important. You've got to be there for your friends, buddy checks, recognizing, hey, you know, Johnny's just not looking right. He's not acting right. I think.
What a great analogy, if I may just say, for a kid to understand, a perfect way to put it.
Well, and what I like about the fact that it's in an open area, it's open, it's in an environment that the kids are familiar with. It's at a baseball field. And it's not like you're sitting there being talked to by a doctor or a social worker, or, you know, it's a platform where I can stand on just as a dad that lost a son, to let these kids know, and talking to them with the parents in the background, they're hearing the message as well. And I think it's just a natural setting where there's a comfort zone for the kids to listen to.
The more we talk about it, the more chance you're going to get a kid going, Mom, Dad, I'm not feeling right. Things are making me sad. The CDC says one death by suicide in the United States every 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It says only half of all Americans that experience an episode of major depression receive treatment, but 80 to 90% of people that seek treatment for depression are treated successfully. Mm-hmm. So we have to get kids to be able to ask, Mom and Dad, I'm not feeling right. I might need some outside help here.
Right. And I stress that to the kids as well. Maybe they don't feel comfortable talking to Mom or Dad. Maybe talk to coach, or maybe talk to somebody else's mom or dad.
Good point.
I think it's important, and that's the key thing that I stress in all my talks is start the conversation. Just talk to somebody. Whether you're the one that's feeling not right, or you recognize that you see a teammate's not looking right, feeling right, acting right, you've got to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
You've got to make that known to somebody.
Dr. John Duffy is on with us every other Wednesday. He's a clinical psychologist, and he just texted saying, I so applaud you, Randy, and your family. Such courage, and the only reasonable way to eradicate the stigma around all of this is to talk about it. Great job.
So true.
Thanks.
About a year ago, I read an article about a school where there was a debate as to how they should address the topic of suicide with grade school kids. And there were a lot of parents who said, oh, don't bring this into the school. This is not something I want my fifth grader or sixth grader to hear. I thought about you immediately because I thought, I wish you could talk to them and explain to them, no, this is so important that these kids know the facts about it.
And it is. I was a little skeptical because our baseball tournament, we start, the youngest level is 11 years old.
Yeah.
And our highest age level is 17. And last year was the first year that we had 11 and 12s playing our tournament. And I was a little, the coaches knew. I sent emails out to the coaches saying, hey, this is what the tournament's about. Share it with your parents because we do like to talk to the kids. And I got positive feedback. Talk to the kids. You can just see them looking. They were retaining this.
Sure.
And the parents in the background were listening as well. And again, parents come up and say, this needs to be talked about. Slowly, they're allowing this topic to be brought into schools.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of this tournament, last year I was able to go into four different schools last year, and I was able to speak to middle school students, and then the entire student body at Hebron, which is 125 kids. But but they're starting to open up and recognizing that this is important.
Yeah, no question.
It has to be talked about.
Yep.
Kids have to know what's going on, and better to find it in an informed situation rather than watching that stupid video show. What was that? I can't even remember what that was.
About
12 Easy Reasons or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it needs to be talked about, and I think it's a great thing that you're educating these kids.
Yeah, it's really needed. And again, I thought, you know, what better venue to do this at where you have so many people involved. And
right.
And, you know, you just think about if we get one person to open up and talk to their coach or talk to mom or dad, and it actually happened in our second year, I got a phone call from a parent saying, hey, my kid was crying the whole way home. He knew he needed help.
You did it. That's success right there.
Yeah.
You are such an amazing guy.
Yep.
I'm sorry. You really are. We need to take a break.
The website is jakevineyardfoundation.com. We'll come back and talk to Randy Moore next. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Our guest is Randy Vineyard. We're talking about the Jake Vineyard Foundation. That's the website, Jake Vineyard Foundation. And the softball tournament that's going to take place June 20th through the 23rd and then June 27th through the 30th. Teams can still sign up. There's still time for teams to sign up. Is there any restriction on the age or how many people on the team or anything like that?
No restrictions on how many kids on the team, on the roster. We're actually full at 13U, 14U, 15U. We have two 16U brackets.
I don't know what the U stands for.
There. Under, 16 under.
16
sorry.
Under. Okay,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. So we have one opening at 17 and under.
Okay.
And then we've got several openings at 11 and 12.
Oh, all right.
And
that's
it is
the level
baseball.
I play at.
Baseball, not softball.
Oh, it's baseball.
Yeah.
It's league ball, not softball.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
All right. You told Wendy and I a story off air that needs to be shared on air, and this is a testament to the good work that you're doing. Please tell everybody the story.
Right. I've said it numerous times on Facebook, on several of my posts. One of the most meaningful things that happened to me last year was, if I can get through this, a young man came up and walked up to me and just put his hand out. I thought he was coming up to shake my hand. and his mom and dad were standing in the background. And he basically said, I'm a survivor. I tried to take my own life. And his parents were in the background, and I just saw the waterfalls go.
And young, and, too, 12
yeah,
years old.
12 at the time.
Oh, my God.
And he was thanking me for doing this tournament because it's something that needs to be taught and or talked about. And to this day, I stay in touch with him. Brock's a good friend of mine. He plays baseball himself up in Wakanda.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the most meaningful thing that happened at the tournament. And it's something I'll always remember.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so rough.
Does that keep you going every day?
I don't know what keeps me
people.
Going. Yeah.
Bill and I have often spoke about this, and Randy, losing a child, you know, you just don't know how to continue, but you need to continue.
You do, and it's too easy not to do anything. It's too easy
sure.
to do nothing.
Yeah.
And I think, again, I go back to that summer of 2014 is when I hit my rock bottom after I lost Jake and realized we have to do something.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have a tournament. What did you want to... Let's make sure we get all the details in.
Okay, so the tournament, I think Bill mentioned the dates. We go over two weekends, June 23rd through the 27th.
June 20th, 23rd, and then the 27th through the 30th.
That's correct, yes. So, yeah, it's two back-to-back weekends. We start on a Thursday night. There's going to be over 102 or 103 baseball games played.
Wow.
And again, we turned this into a fundraiser for our foundation. Last year, our sponsor support and donation support was great. We raised $26,000 last year as a result of this tournament.
Phenomenal.
Amazing.
And we've got a goal. Jake's number was 33. This year, we're going to shoot for 33,000. And I think it's attainable. We finally... I guess our website got up to the 21st century. We can now accept donations on our website, and we have our sponsor information up there also.
These can be private donations. They can also be corporate donations, correct?
That's correct, yeah. And we've got a sponsor form up on the website, a sponsor link, and all donations are tax-deductible. We're a nonprofit organization, 501c3.
Yeah.
So,
what's the website?
JakeVineyardFoundation.com. No E in Vineyard. A lot of people put the E in there, but...
VINYARD.
Yep.
The E is non-existent, folks. Do not use an E. I know what you've been through. You and I have talked about this so many times. I can't imagine what you've been through. But this is a good thing in all directions. And I hope I'm praying you derive some sort of fun out of this because it should be fun. This is baseball.
It is fun. Yeah. The only thing that's not fun when you run a baseball tournament is rain.
Oh, right.
So,
what do you do if there's rain on any of these?
It takes a lot of planning, and it takes a lot of rescheduling games. There's two things, in my opinion, that make a successful tournament. Volunteers and sponsors.
Yeah.
We're doing pretty good on the sponsors, and our volunteer base, I've got some of the best guys in Spring Grove, but we could always use more, especially when it rains, because the minute it stops raining, we've got to get those fields ready and get ready for game time.
Can I share a text with you?
Sure.
Our program, Dirtbags Baseball, has sent teams to the Jake Vineyard Tournament for the past few years. It's a great environment and experience. The cause is important, and the tournament is an excellent way to communicate to the kids in a memorable way for them. Our players and parents look forward to and request that they play in this tournament every year. Randy and the entire Vineyard family keep up the excellent work.
That's a great organization. They have been with us for many years, and Jeff and his organization, they've sent teams at all levels this year. One of two teams that have done that, the Huntley Blue team, also has representation at all the age levels as well. And we've done this. We've built relationships with these organizations, and they insist on coming back. I mean, 2 weeks after the tournament is over, we're already planning for next year. This is a year-round planning process.
Yeah,
I'll get emails and texts, hey, do you have the date set yet? Do you have the date set yet? So these guys, I put the registration out there in November, and I probably had registrations on November 2nd or 3rd.
Thank you for telling Jake's story. I know this is difficult, but it certainly needs to be done. Our door is always open whenever you need us. Okay?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Bill. You've always been open. You guys have been great.
You're so strong and courageous, and we are so proud of you. Again, the website is jakevineyardfoundation.com. No E in Vineyard. Jake, V-I-N-Y-A-R-D, foundation.com. Good luck to you. Thank you. Keep healing.
Yes.
We will, on the website also, I just want to mention... everybody, a lot of times people ask, well, where does the money go and what you're doing with the money? We sponsor. I just did want to get these out there. I mean, we are a sponsor for the Out of Darkness Walk that's held downtown Chicago. We're one of the main sponsors for that. We contribute to many organizations that are raising awareness for suicide. Blue Help is a law enforcement organization. Illinois Firefighter Peer Support Group. Chicago Police Chaplains Ministries. We support Chicago Police Memorial Fund. Stop Soldier Suicide. American Soldiers Journey Home. Plus local organizations and charities that are in our area. So any dollar that comes in, we're pushing it right back out and to support suicide awareness.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Randy Vineyard, everybody. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.
Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate it. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and Dane Neal has stopped by. Dane, how the heck are you? Oops, it would help if I turned your microphone on.
I am okay.
Nice to see you, Dane.
Good to see you guys. Wow, it seems like, you know, Mother Nature flipped a switch, and all of a sudden,
right,
at least for the next handful of moments, it's nice.
You have brought us the sunshine, Dane. That's what you have brought us.
That's it. It's coming in.
Doesn't he always?
Yes, he always does. It's amazing.
Thanks for noticing.
This, I guess, is the start of the barbecue season, is it not?
Well,
it have to be.
Well, Monday is Memorial Day already?
Yes, it is, Wendy.
Crazy?
Wow. Yes, it is.
It feels like it's not, because we have a nice day, blizzard, like rainstorm, monsoon, right, and it's to the point where you're like, it's raining again?
I know.
Like,
look,
come
at this,
on.
50 degrees yesterday, 80-something today.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Let's hope on this hopscotch of weather-related emotions that for Memorial Day weekend, it turns out nice, and it is the kind of unofficial, just like, you know, they say you can't wear white shoes past Labor Day.
Right.
We do. Bill and I, you and
well,
I.
Well, we're big Pat Boone fans.
Pat Boone, patent leather, we do it.
Slip on loafers. Look good on you, boys.
Thank you, Wendy, for noticing.
But a lot of people recognize that it's kind of the start of like backyard grilling season. And of course, we recognize that, you know, all of our men and women in uniform, all the real important reasons to celebrate Memorial Day. But it's a great food holiday, too. And a lot of times that great food happens in the backyard, you know, on a grill. Typically, it would have been, let's say, like a Weber grill kind of situation or a gas grill. Now, you're seeing it on a bunch of other things that are getting more, not only awareness out there, but popularity, testimonials, and people are putting smokers in their backyard, pellet smokers.
You might have to explain the difference between a smoker and a grill. What would the main differences be?
Okay, so the things that people have, you've got the Weber kettle, early 50s was created. Here's the thing that I always think is fascinating, is there's so many things that we live with that are just parts of our everyday life that we just assume...
They've always been here.
Always,
sure, right, like since the beginning of time.
What kind of grill did Ben Franklin have? Obviously, right. You know, he didn't have one. So the
Ducati? I would have said a Ducati.
A Ducati. Well, that's great.
I thought you said you had to go potty.
No,
I'm sorry.
I do, but I didn't say that.
Right. That's natural. Well, so the Weber grill 50s, and the story behind that is it was like a buoy out there, and they cut part of a buoy out, flipped it over. And
is that true?
That's absolutely true. Yeah, like the Weber Stephan people.
They did?
Yeah. So
brilliant.
They did. I mean, it's on their website, I'm sure, but there's a little bit of a history behind it. And they put some stuff in there and grilled it, and it worked.
Yeah. Right?
It was great for as far as even cooking and charcoal, and you can put some, you know, wood and some other things in there. And there you have the kettle grill starting in the 50s. Well, now...
Did those grills have knobs?
No.
Just curious.
I mean, maybe knobs for like the vent on the top.
Yeah, to make it hotter or not as hot.
Well, no, these were charcoal.
Oh.
Yeah, so they could add a knob, but it wouldn't have had the same effect.
No, nothing like that. All right.
And the way that those work is it's airflow. So you've got airflow from the bottom, airflow on the top, and it allows you to regulate the heat to some extent, right? So it isn't just a fire that the caveman would have had, like here's the fire. You can regulate it and control it, and it's worked out great. When it comes to smokers, and this is an interesting thing, so Traeger, if you've seen the half an hour kind of infomercial about the versatility of the pellet smoker, the ease, you know, set it and forget it. You could do all those things. And then, of course, the reasons people use them is because the flavor is great. You know, you get the wood smoke flavor.
Is it too smoky, though? Because I'm not a big... I like some flavor, but I don't like a lot of smoky flavor.
As Bill kind of inspired, there's a knob for that, right?
There's a knob now, Wendy.
There's a smoky knob.
Use your knob.
Well, okay, so, but the origins of that was, like, Traeger was a furnace company. So they were creating furnaces, and they used an auger system to feed wood pellets in, in order to, like, heat people's homes or whatever. And then at some point, someone said, let's cook some food.
See what happens.
And it worked out great. They had a patent, and so for, I don't know how many years, it was, they sort of exclusively had the technology for it, and now that's been opened up for a number of years, and so you're seeing a bunch more pellet grills on the market. The way that it works is, and it is very simple. We have a couple of them, and you just, so you put in whatever kind of wood you want, whether, let's say, it's hickory or apple wood, or, and there's different reasons for different flavors of wood, or mesquite, you know, if you want it, depending on what you're cooking.
And, subtle differences, right? It's not over, the differences aren't overpowering.
Like, if you get a mesquite in there, it's pretty,
and it's pretty spicy.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. If you want some, like a pecan or some kind of, they're all different, and you
pecan
should,
pecan chicken would be good.
That would be good.
And you should try them all out. And then, of course, you can adjust the smoke and the settings. And what it allows you to do is to do some of those longer kind of, barbecue cooks, like let's say for like a pork butt or brisket or something that takes a long time. Imagine trying to just do that with a Weber and constantly manipulating.
Take forever.
Yeah, it would take forever. And it would be difficult to do and maintain, where this gives you consistency because it has a thermostat. It feeds more of the wood chips or the wood pellets in as it needs them, and it fires a little bit of computer action going on there. And you're able to let you kind of set it and forget it. And have it cook for, you know, I don't know, it could be like 12 hours, 14 hours. Oh. As long as
so that cooks, you don't, I mean, you can have both, but technically you could just have a smoker and that would smoke and cook?
They say that they can do it. They want to be everything forever. If you see the infomercials, they're cooking desserts. They're cooking, you know, Thanksgiving turkey. And technically you can do. One of the downsides, at least perceived, of the smokers, they don't get super high. So you can't sear
your
steak, right? Or,
like
for burgers. I mean, it's really great. But for some of the things, for chicken, for the back end of steak after you do sort of a sear on it.
Duck.
Really great.
Duck's a good candidate, right?
Have you ever grilled duck?
Jalapeno poppers.
I have not. I've not personally grilled duck, but I've been to places where they have grilled the duck.
He's interrogated ducks before. He's never He's never grilled them.
I waterboarded a goose three years ago.
Good, because they're mean.
Oh, they're so mean.
But waterboarded goose is one of the best ways to enjoy it.
So delicious. Right. So delicious.
My friend has a smoker that looks like a grill. It's like an outdoor oven, and he basically said that it's not a pellet one. It's just this beautiful thing. And he said, "Oh, it's like an outdoor oven. We cook everything in here. We cook pizzas in here.
Yeah.
You can do all that.
You can do all of those things. And you can cook bread. You can cook muffins. You can cook. You can do a lot of things. And I think the smoker part of it, it doesn't necessarily have to be plug in with all of the technology. You can just do it in an offset. So the smoker gives you the smoke and offset heat as opposed to direct heat that you get.
I might have to
Weber.
Get a smoker.
Get a smoker, Wendy.
And here's the thing, too. Do a little bit of check in the internet. Is great because they do range. You know, you can get a smoker that's $1,500, $2,000. You know, with all the different accoutrements.
Get the high-end one, Wendy. If you're going to get one, get
a
nice.
Oh, it's,
money's gone. All right, sorry.
Or they've got ones that, you know, for a few hundred dollars, depending on what you're doing, you can get yourself into something that's
a basic one.
That's really, really
basic
great.
Basic model. No frills. All right, Dane Neal is here. We'll discuss this further. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 gets it done. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill and Wendy with you on WGN. Our guest is Dane Neal. Dane, yesterday on the show, I know this is a long way to get to it, so I'll give you a shortened version. We started talking about Tom Brady and his aversion to strawberries. He's either never had a strawberry or he had one once and he didn't like it. Anyway,
that's weird.
We came up with foods that we thought everybody liked, but there's always some food that even though everybody loves it, you don't like.
Like the rutabaga really doesn't have a good PR agency.
Horrible, horrible. But we decided that for some reason, if you grill a food, it becomes
better.
Delicious somehow.
So good. Okay, so
what's going on there?
A case in point, cauliflower, right?
Yeah.
Which has been the bane of so many kids' existence.
Yeah.
And you could only enjoy it if you maybe like wrapped it in bacon or coated it in cheese or something, right? And then really you're eating bacon and cheese.
I love it. I don't know what's wrong with you guys.
But on a smoker, with a little bit of olive oil and a little bit of spices, you can, and it is sort of a cauliflower steak. You just slice it so that it's maybe, I don't know, 3/4.
You cook the whole head of it?
No. You slice it up so that it looks kind of like the brain scan on the Visible Man. At the Museum of
Souls. Now I want
honestly
some.
That's what it looks like, but with the olive oil and a little bit of char, it's actually quite appealing and it tastes good.
I can't stand Brussels sprouts. My wife grilled some a couple summers ago with some sort of like a shiitake sauce, like a mushroom sauce on it. They were really good.
So you wonder, is it the Brussels sprouts or is it that sauce with the shiitake mushrooms would probably be great on so many things.
Yeah,
so maybe you get your vitamins of your Brussels sprouts and
maybe
and some of those things. I wanted to mention the Kamado grills really quick before we get to Jenny and all the cool stuff happening. in Westmont. And this is one of those other things that people are contemplating, especially on a weekend like this. And AmazingRibs.com, Max Good does all the equipment reviews. So if you're going to look for, you know, have people trying it out and show it, that's a great place.
AmazingRibs.com.
AmazingRibs.com. It is the number one site in the world for that. And he does an incredible job. But Kamado's Big Green Egg, we see him. It's almost like an aspirational piece of cooking equipment because it's expensive, right? But just like, let's say, Traeger in the smokers, it's becoming more accessible. Like, hey, what is that? I can kind of, you know, get into whatever
that
is.
What's the advantage in having one of those?
What's amazing about them is it's great flavor. It's great heat retention. You can cook long and you can smoke over a long period of time. You can't do it with like a Weber kettle, at least not with that kind of ease. There's people that'll say, like, I could do it.
Right.
And it's just, it tastes really great and it retains a lot of the moisture. And you use like the natural like hardwood lump charcoal in there. It's really cool.
Expensive or not expensive?
It varies. You know, Big Green Egg, like I said, aspirational. They can be, you know, upwards of, for a grill with all of the different accessories that you'd need, you know, $1,000, $1,500 for that. There are some on the market that are less expensive. I have like a Vision grill, which so Vision is the name of the company. And they actually, it's a little bit cheaper. I've heard you can get it at Home Depot. I haven't seen it at a local one, but you can certainly get them to ship it from.
Yeah.
And they're absolutely great. The quality is great on all the different things. And they have, which is kind of a patented switch out thing, quick change. So you can switch it from the charcoal to gas.
Oh, that's
just with an insert. Like that.
That's really good.
And the way that's whole started out, the guy who created that, this is another interesting story from the past, is remember when plastics was amazing? Plastics, it'll change your life.
Right.
I don't remember it, but I've seen the documentary.
Right.
Well, gas had that same thing, where natural gas, we've created it. Let's make it, you know, cooking with gas. Let's do gas lights. Let's make gas appealing. And that's how that started. And so the founder of Vision started, was one of the kind of the guys in the thought process there. What extra things can we do with natural gas? And cooking was one of them with the grills.
Very good. Very good. Let's meet Jenny. What can you tell us?
So Jenny Babiar, she is one of the, you know, she's on the cutting edge there when it comes to Westmont, not only for the big festival that they got, the Red, White, and Barbecue Festival, that is one of the biggest and most, I would say, premier competitions on the KCBS side in the Midwest, maybe the country. And there's so much for the entire family. Jenny, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thank you.
So Jenny, give a little bit of background. I know there's going to be a ton happening, not only in the backyards as people kind of grill out, but you guys in the backyard, which is a good portion of Westmont, you've got a contest and a festival that's for the whole family.
Yes, we do. We get about 20,000 competitors show up here at Ty Warner Park, which is located one block north of Ogden Avenue and one block east of Cass Avenue. We do have a festival which includes carnival rides with games and carnival food, the competition side, which has 50 professional competitors on Sunday, 42 professional competitors on Saturday, and 37 amateur backyard competitors on a lot of competing going on Saturday. So
that's fun that you can just take, you know, a guy who's the king of his backyard.
Yeah.
Well, Jenny, how is that? Because you're also not only with Westmont and the festival, but you're also one of the organizers for the KCBS barbecue competition and the backyard stuff. And that is something we wanted to mention. You know, obviously it's coming up so you can go and see it. But for next year, and you guys offer an opportunity for people who think they're pretty good, right? Hey, Larry, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to get in and maybe kind of, you know, put their big toe in the water on the competition side. This is a start.
Oh, definitely. Just sign up. Come on over. What we offer is for them to cook two meats. They can cook chicken thighs or chicken legs or chicken wings. And then that's one entry of meat. And then their second entry is ribs. And the ribs are actually sponsored by our local barbecue restaurant here, Uncle Bob's. So they're given two free racks of ribs to compete with.
But
so
I would hate to be... I'd hate to be a judge for this. That'd be awful.
They're looking for judges, according to the website.
Really?
Amateur judges. Oh, yeah. It's a great time.
What does it take to be a judge? I know when you get out of this, you get some bragging rights and things like that. But would you say, like, go to the KCBS, you know, website and you can find ways, different contests that are happening? Because it's been happening all over the place. It's been around for decades. But not a lot of people, even fans of barbecue, are aware of all the cool stuff happening.
Yeah, you definitely go to the KCBS website to be a judge. There are judging classes all over the United States. It's a four-hour class. It sounds like a long time, but it's a lot of fun. You learn a lot. and then you're a certified barbecue judge. And you can go anywhere and be a judge, even Puerto Rico, even in Europe.
A prestigious title. So before we let you go, give information on the website where people can go see all the different activities and all the fun stuff they can do coming up this weekend.
Sure, it's westmontbbq.com.
I'm on it right now. Friday? There's music, there's food. It starts Friday, correct?
Yes, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We have a beer tent, local craft beer tent, 11 food vendors, including barbecue. So you're going to smell that barbecue cooking in the air, and you're going to want to eat it.
Why does that make you hungry? You could be completely full, but if you smell that charcoal flavor.
I think it's got to be something that's sort of hardwired into our DNA. It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
Because you start salivating the minute you smell that.
That's right. Yeah. Tackle an antelope or something.
Jenny, great to meet you. Good luck over the weekend. This sounds like
Thank
a lot of fun.
So
Jenny Babiars. Dane, thank you. I learned stuff today, and I don't come here with that intent ever.
We're going to be doing a big Memorial Day. I think it's going to be 8 p.m. We're going to be doing sort of a recap and a lot of exciting stuff, covering a lot of the Indy 500 stuff and, of course, the backyard and all the food stuff that we're going to be doing, and maybe some travel stuff, too. So we'll
Perfect. It's Dane Neal, everybody. Listen to him whenever you get the chance. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy on WGN. I never heard your version of this. Very good. Very good. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Effett, Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200. You can be, too. Just dial us up there or text us, and your thoughts will become part of the show.
We were supposed to talk weed, but our next guest might be partaking in
it. Wendy, you don't know that for sure, do you?
No, I really don't. But we are going to talk about it, and if not today, we'll do it another day, because you know what? Whatevs.
Exactly. Well said. A story that I heard in the news earlier, Steve Grzanich did this story during the morning show, during the news on the morning show. Very, very disturbing. Now, we've established on the show that I'm not a pet lover, but
To have in your house.
Right.
I like animals.
Love animals.
Don't like
I don't want them in my
pets.
House.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm with you.
And
you
I don't
know.
Want to visit other people who have them in their house.
Well,
but I like them in the wild.
How do you find anyone to hang out with? Because I'd say 90% of people have pets of some sort.
I have 67 friends, Wendy. Not a problem. It's not a problem.
Way to toot your own
horn. How about this story with the flamingo in the zoo?
It makes me sick
to
my stomach.
Insane. A Miller Park Zoo flamingo was euthanized on Monday after an elementary school student threw a rock inside the animal's exhibit. Now, I didn't get to this part. Well, I'll do it in order. A representative from the Bloomington, Illinois Zoo told CNN that the rock broke the flamingo's leg.
Oh my God.
And caused injuries that led to the animal being put down. The zoo said it's working with the student's family to make sure that this is a learning experience.
I heard that this morning. What does that mean? Guilting
them? That can mean anything.
Like, kid, do you know you are responsible for its death?
Right.
Listen, I know kids like to throw rocks.
Not at a flamingo. Right?
I am horrified by it, but, you know, I guess I think of little kids throwing a rock at a bird because it'll fly away, you know? This flamingo is not going to fly away.
So was this kid's goal, it doesn't say how old the kid was, does it?
It's at elementary school.
It just says elementary school. It doesn't say, well, elementary school can be through 8, right? Isn't that 1 through 8?
That's middle school.
Yeah?
Junior high is middle school.
I went to an elementary school. It was 1 through 8.
I don't know.
So. All right, so we don't know the kid's age, but what was his goal? Was his goal to hit the bird? To see if he could hit the bird?
He achieved his goal.
Yeah. All right, so I'll read that sentence again because it takes some sinking in. The zoo said it is working with the student's family to make sure that this is a learning experience, as well they should.
They're not going to prosecute, they're just going to, that's what I take out of it. They're not going to prosecute the kid or the family, but like, listen, you can't do this. You can't throw rocks at living things.
Right. If this was an adult, would this be handled differently?
Oh, yeah,
I
100%.
Would imagine,
yeah,
I would think.
It's a federal offense, cruelty to animals, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know that. The Greater Flamingo Exhibit at the zoo opened back in June of 2016, this according to the city of Bloomington. According to the University of Michigan, greater flamingos are found in the Middle East in countries like Iran, Turkey, and Afghanistan, as well as in areas across West Africa and South America and throughout Europe. They're often hunted across the Middle East. Africa, and their eggs are often captured for profit. That surprises me. I didn't know that.
It would make a big omelet. Not as good as an ostrich egg. Right. And I'm kidding, people. Right.
I think the zoo is going to come to your house and have a talking to you, too.
I don't think they're going to. I am all about taking care of animals.
They can live up an average of 30 years.
That's cool.
That's very cool. According to the university.
I don't think you find that cool.
Seriously, if somebody said, guess how long a flamingo lives, I would have no point of reference at all.
I can't believe they live that long.
It could be 3 years, it could be 1,000
years. That's a long time.
Yeah. They can live that long, 30 years, according to the university, and those in captivity sometimes reach 60 years old.
Do they get little rocking chairs for them?
Doesn't say. Does not say. The zoo has both indoor and outdoor exhibits of animals, including reindeer, a Sumatran tiger, river otters, red pandas, lemurs, bald eagles, gibbons, and red wolves, according to the zoo's website.
Oh, my.
So...
Someone says, a text, 847, I don't think he threw the rock purposely at the flamingo. An article I read was he threw the rock to skip it in the pond. Still don't think that's okay, but I don't necessarily believe he purposely aimed at the flamingo. But still, there's a reason why you shouldn't be throwing rocks into an enclosure, because look what could happen.
Exactly.
If you're on a little river or a creek, go ahead and skip a stone.
Sure.
And somebody wants to know where was the parents, but this was a school group, wasn't
it? Yeah, like a field trip, right?
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Imagine the parents of that kid.
Believe me when I say this, there's no way in the world I'm defending this kid, but I'm sure, I'm hoping there is a guilt feeling or two where you just go, they had to put the animal down because of something I did. And I know we live in a very sensitive time, don't get me wrong. I'm sure the last thing you want to do is out-guilt this kid, but... How do you not know that this was the wrong thing to do? I don't know how old he was, but even as a little kid, I would know. I'm in a zoo. There's animals. Something horrible could happen.
Right. So would you throw a rock at it?
Never. Never. Never.
I'm telling you, and I've not done it, but I have seen kids do it. There's a blackbird on a log far away. Maybe you throw a rock to startle it and see it fly.
I wouldn't even do that. I wouldn't either, but I can understand
that. And, you know, typically they fly away, and the chances of you hitting that bird on a log are so slim.
Sure,
but a flamingo is a bigger target.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's in a zoo, not expecting things to be thrown at them.
Now, here's the other question.
Except a shrimp.
Right. Here's the other question. If it's the flamingo's leg, couldn't some sort of an effort be made to correct that? Like, if I'm the flamingo, I'm going, I got to be honest, it doesn't hurt that bad.
They stand on one leg only anyway.
More times
sometimes.
Than not, you see the flamingo on the one leg. But wouldn't some flamingo expert say, well, you know, there's something we can do to help bolster the leg? He's been hit by a rock and it's painful, but we can work on that and make it better.
I do find it shocking that they had to euthanize it because of a leg injury.
Yeah.
Although horses...
You hear that with horses all the time. The horse hurt its leg, so we have to put it down.
This is
I'm glad this doesn't
question.
Happen with humans.
I know.
I've had two leg... I wouldn't be here today if the medicine was the same for me as with flamingos.
I know this is a dumb... thing to say, okay? Because my sister owns a horse. Maybe I should have asked her this before bringing it on the air. But haven't you seen three-legged dogs?
I have.
And I take Kona to daycare once a week, and there are two dogs with three legs.
Yeah.
And honest to God, I didn't notice they had three legs when they were running around.
Yeah.
You don't even notice it. You just kind of notice once they stop. You're like, oh my God,
yeah,
they're missing
that
a leg.
Dog has two
so
legs.
Why can't a horse make do on three of the four legs?
See,
or a flamingo, one out of the two?
Flamingo, you're down. You start out with two, so half your legs are down. Well, I guess you could, yeah.
Or don't they have prosthetic?
That's what I would, yeah.
I'm not being funny.
No, I would hope that somebody was suggested that. Saying we can build something that's like a leg. It's leg-like enough to where the flamingo could still live.
In a horse, unlike a dog, there is the height differential.
Yes.
So dogs are much closer to the ground.
What about a Great Dane, though? Well, I guess, I don't know. Some of those dogs are pretty big.
Not the size of a horse. Without a prosthetic, I mean, a three-legged horse, that the balance is just so far off.
And horses are so heavy that the leg would have to be, it would have to have such a strong load bearing to pick up the weight of the horse, right?
I mean, the balance would be totally off.
Yeah.
Well,
I can't see a horse hopping on a back leg or just a front leg. Strikes me. It just, the geometry is just really off.
What animal did I see on YouTube where they built like there's like a
I don't
wheel?
Like, where this is going.
Like the whatever animal I was looking at,
like in a cart,
it rests on a cart.
It was the back legs of a dog.
Yeah,
was that a dog?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Scooter.
I think Wendy and I both. I don't know the name, but I know what Wendy's talking about. I've seen it too.
Yeah, and I mean that's true love if you're taking care of a dog like that.
Yes.
All right, we have to take a break, and then people want to talk about this terrible thing.
All right.
I do have to say, somebody said, I'm sure this kid is a problem to his parents everywhere he goes. Can I just say, that person does not know that? What if this is the nicest kid in the world and did a stupid thing?
Right. They should say that in the story. That should be a paragraph in the story.
Yes, parents
Andy
are to blame.
Andy is a nice kid who did a bad thing, or Andy has a history of doing things just like this.
That like Goofus and Gallant.
Right. We need to know which of the brothers did this, Goofus or Gallant. All right. We'll take a break, and then your thoughts on this flamingo story. We're at 312-981-7200. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I love this song. Who doesn't love Mungo Jerry?
No, it's Flamingo Jerry, Wendy.
Oh, boy, you are really clever. We were talking about the Bloomington, Illinois Zoo, and a kid threw a rock. It hit a flamingo in the leg. We don't know intentionally or not, and the flamingo had to be euthanized.
Right.
And the kid, what was the wording on it? Because that's pretty interesting to
me. All right, the exact wording is, the zoo said it is working with the student's family to make sure that this is a learning experience. Very vague. That can mean almost anything. But that's where things stand right now.
And Bill and I were confused. I've seen a three-legged dog. I've not seen a three-legged horse. But, you know, couldn't you use a prosthetic leg? We don't really know how that goes. Chuck, your thoughts?
Well, yeah. I had a cockatiel, and there was a mishap when I took it to the pet shop, and the leg was broken. It was degloved, actually.
This was a cockatoo?
A cockatiel.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And the main reason we had to euthanize the bird, the main reason was because they're so prone to infection.
Oh, okay.
But as an aside, when was the last time you ever saw a horse or a bird in a wheelchair or on crutches? It's really hard.
Valid point. No, it's
nice
true.
Nice setup and delivery, Chuck.
Thanks,
have a great
Chuck.
One.
He's right. You can't argue with him.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good. I love you guys.
Thanks, Dan.
We love you right back, buddy.
All right. Thank you. Just to... I'm sure Bill remembers this. You probably do, too, Wendy. Andy Griffith show. Opie got a slingshot.
With the bird.
And he was out practicing with the slingshot, accidentally killed the mother bird. Then he felt so bad, he took over the mothering of the birds. And it was one of the worst Andy Griffith sappiest shows ever, but... it was an accident.
Right.
You know, like you said, Wendy, he was just messing around.
He cried in that episode. Remember, Opie cried.
Opie was a good boy.
I cried in that episode.
Very sad. It was very sad.
The only Andy Griffith show I ever cried in.
Yeah, it was
a
really sad
episode.
But
can I just make a point here? You know, Opie was raised by a dad who really cared and was a good man. He was a sheriff, for gosh sakes. And sometimes kids do things wrong. Again, all these texts about, you know, it's the parents. What? God forbid, if my kids did something like that, I've tried to raise them right. I'd be horrified.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the saddest thing was when he had the birds in a cage, feeding them, taking care of them. And Andy said, those birds are ready to go. They got to fly. You know, you were a good mother. You took care of them, but birds have to fly. That's when the tears hit.
Do you remember the last sentence that Opie said in that episode? I do. He's thinking about his dad, and he goes, he ain't so dumb. And I went, Opie just learned
dumb.
A valuable lesson.
Yes. So did we.
We all did. Well, boy, so true.
Well, thank you,
Dan. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Someone said, we don't know the boy's age. A boy in first grade throwing a rock is a very normal thing to do. I'm not even a parent, and I know that. Different story if it's a 17-year-old. And then someone put, I really feel bad for the Flamingo, but sign the kid up for pro ball.
Several years ago, there's this butterfly sanctuary in Florida that I visited with my daughters and my wife. We were vacationing in Florida. We had passed by it a bunch of times. I think it's called Butterfly World or something like that. It's the largest butterfly exhibit of its kind. Thousands and thousands and thousands.
Did it freak you out a little bit?
It's amazing. It's so amazing. But they warn you everywhere you go, do not touch the butterflies because several things can happen. There's infections that the butterflies can get. Some butterflies won't mate again if they've been touched.
So by someone else.
Right.
Yeah, that's a whole
so there's
loyalty
there's
thing.
Warnings everywhere. And I said to my wife, I bet with all those warnings, you're still going to see kids trying to catch the butterflies. I was wrong. It was adults that were trying to do it. I didn't see any kids trying to catch the butterflies. I saw three adults either touching or trying to catch butterflies inside, despite warnings everywhere you looked.
That's when there should be a sniper. I'm kidding. But I'm serious. All right, so there are some terrible adults
yes.
that try and get away with things.
Yes, yes.
That irks me. It's, did you say anything? Because I wouldn't have been able to hold back.
I just watched going, look, there's a sign 3 feet away from you that says don't do exactly what you're doing. Why would you do that? It's nuts. Yeah, with this, can you blame this kid's parents? Probably not.
And all these reports are saying this kid's in second grade. He was skipping a stone across a pond in front of the flamingo and the rock hit it.
Yeah.
But you really shouldn't be throwing stones in an enclosure.
I don't think so.
Because look.
Look what can happen.
Yeah.
A flamingo is down. We've lost a flamingo because of this.
And I seem to, there's a commercial, I don't know what it's for. It's for some pharmaceutical, because that's all you see now is, you know, hey, try this drug.
Yeah.
And then the whole commercial is spent telling you what the side effects could
yes,
be.
Yes, yes.
This woman, I thought, had a horse, a pony, that had a prosthetic leg. Well, I'm almost 100% sure.
How come? Was it relevant to the commercial at all? Or
well,
just...
she worked with animals, and she was rehabbing a lot of these animals that had issues. And I don't know, maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but I'm pretty sure this
is current or?
Yes.
Yeah?
But it was a pony. Now that's different than a big horse.
I guess. Yeah.
I don't know why I'm talking like this
I'm not
now.
Sure why either.
A horse.
I don't know why. All right.
Kid is a stone cold killer.
Oh, no.
Get it?
No. No, no, no.
Coming up, the stories that matter with David Jennings from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all happening right here, 720.